Next, we are going to talk about MathML and interop with Harry. So no more French accent. It's going to be a different accent this time.
So welcome. Thank you all for being here today. My name is Harry, and I work at the web platform team at Igalia. So for those who don't know yet, Igalia is an open source consultancy, which started in Galicia, in a beautiful region in Spain. We are a worker-owned company with a flat structure and great people all over the world. We do a lot of things, but today we are going to focus on the first one, since I'm going to talk about how we made MathML interoperable. So what is MathML? Don't worry, you don't need to know it from before. Similar to HTML or XML, it's a markup language, but for mathematics. So it was first published in 1998, the same as CSS from before, but we're now at version 3, which is a W3C standard that is a recommendation, and it is used in many applications beyond browsers, like ebook readers or office suites. So here we have a very simple example of how writing an integral and a fraction would look. You see that the syntax is similar to how HTML a website would work, but we have operators and so on. So let's do a brief history recap, very, very brief. But as I said, it was first published in 1998, and 3 years later, MathML version 2 followed. Around that time, Mozilla was the first to implement it, and it stayed like that for a few years until the next browser, Opera, which back then had its own engine, implemented it in 2007. The big milestone was when HTML5 came. It included MathML as well as other things as a web standard. And from there, WebKit also implemented, the version that we're currently on landed. And the last one to the party was Chromium in 2012, but this only lasted for a year because it was removed. So what happened? The thing is that MathML3 is a very, very complex standard. It features more than 200 elements and very difficult rules. So it is intended to be a complete representation of mathematics, but this is not really feasible to implement in practice, especially in a moving target like the web. So as such, like, the behavior was inconsistent across engines, and the code was very difficult to maintain, a lot of debt accumulated. So almost a decade passed before we had a proposal, which is MathML Core. It is a subset of MathML3, a much smaller subset, but it is tailored for browser implementations. So instead of like having everything, they look at what is used in practice and how we can have like the important things, and then mix in implementation details from text and OpenType, and also try to reuse the things that existed in browsers as much as possible, like CSS. And also, it has a lot of tests, which is good. So thanks to this, Chromium got back in the MathML train, yay, and in 2023. So now we are in a great position, because for the first time in forever, all three major browser engines, except Serco, have MathML support, and so like finally you can write a web page or write that thing using MathML, and users will be able to see it. But the work is still not done. Another example first. This is a bit more complex, but we can see here that we can use the features in the browser. Just like we would in HTML or other things, we can have animations, we can have links, we even have events, and we can modify the features, like the MathML features, like we would other things. So what I was saying is that what is left? A lot, actually, because we need to make sure that all of the browsers agree and follow the standard, which can be tricky because for Chromium, it may be easier because they didn't have an implementation, so you could write one from scratch. But for other browsers, as we saw, sometimes there is up to 25 years of legacy code, and code that is being made for one standard, then the next, and it is complicated. And browsers have very huge and very different code bases. They are one of the most complicated programs ever. They have, it's not a great metric, but they have roughly the same amount of lines of code that the Linux kernel. So yeah, it's not easy. So what we do is there's this project called Interop, which is a cross-browser effort to improve like the interoperability of the web. So all browsers can tackle certain features that are very important. And it's decided between browser vendors, spec writers, developers. All of them agree on a set of features to tackle each year, which is what was mentioned in the talks before. And this benefits all users. So this year, at Igalia, we got an agreement to work on MathML Core with the Sovereign Tech Fund, which is part of an European agency that invests on open source infrastructure. So what have we been up to these past few months? So first, we tackled a few CSS features that MathML Core introduces. First one is math depth. So if you look here, you can see that the superscripts and the inner members of fractions, they get progressively smaller because otherwise they couldn't fit. If you have a lot of them and formulas get complicated, and they wouldn't look good. So before, this was a hard-coded set of very complicated rules, but the beauty of MathML Core is saying, okay, we have CSS, we have things, we can reuse that. And instead of this hard coding, we have these rules in the user agent style sheet of each browser, which implement all of that complex behavior just from these three rules. And doing it in CSS makes it easy to write polyfills and to implement new features, test different things. Another example of, we also need another piece of the puzzle because font sizes don't change on their own. So we have this font size math, which is a new keyword. It is implemented for all math elements. And what it does is it gets inherited. It works the same as inheriting font size, but if there's a math depth, it will reduce progressively the size to match the depth. Also, we try to keep compatibility with existing content as much as possible because there's 25 years of existing more than 25 years of existing content. So, for example, there was this script level attribute which did more or less the same as math depth. And now, instead of having to handle all of that and use the hardcoding rules, we just map it to math depth with a set of rules. So browsers don't get any more complex, and there's no more code to maintain, but existing web pages display as better as possible. The other example is math shift. So I know that it may not be easy to see, but the two on the left is a bit lower than the two on the right. That's because it has to fit inside of the square root. And if it was in the same height, it wouldn't. And especially in a more complex example, it would start to look messy. Text has this concept of cramped, which is more or less the same idea. This is also implemented as a CSS property, and we have this user agent style sheet that implements this behavior. So I'm very happy to say that both math shift and math depth are now usable across every browser in the latest versions and enabled by default. So here we have right to left mirroring. So, make a note for font, math fonts, because this is not displaying correctly because of math fonts. We will come back to that later, and internet connection. But what would happen is that there are some languages that write from right to left, and mathematics too, especially the Arabic mathematical notation. And usually, in some cases, they use the same Latin and Greek symbols, but flipped. We have two cases. So one is where we have brackets or other characters that have a corresponding inverse. So, for example, we would change the right bracket to the left bracket in the other case. But there are more complex cases like square roots or one we will see next, where just like changing a character is not possible. So that's called glyph level mirroring. And here we have an example of what could go wrong. So this is a clockwise contour integral. The clockwise part is important. So if we just mirror it, like we put a mirror and for the other part, it becomes a counterclockwise integral, which changes the meaning and it's wrong. So there's an open type font feature called RTLM. So math fonts can provide a different set of symbols, like in this case, the last one, which are mirrored but still have the correct meaning. So all of this is implemented in all browsers except glyph level mirroring in WebKit, which we are working on. And now we go to font families. So math fonts are very important for good rendering because they have a specific set of symbols, and they also have rules for big operators like integrals or square roots that can grow and have different things inside. And it is very important to have a font family available. Browsers used to have a hard-coded list of these fonts, but that became, it didn't work across systems, it was ugly to have all of them there. So now we have a font family math, which is a CSS generic family. And it's the way of saying, give me a good math font, whatever it is. So here we have a comparison, and the comparison is actually wrong. But so the first one is using font family math, which in my system it resolves to Latin modern math, a popular math font. The second one would be using style font. It was like handwritten math, which a website would provide. But we can see, because we don't have internet I didn't manage to get internet connection, it's not loading the font from the website. So because we don't have font family math, it's not falling back to a proper font. And the last one was intentionally like that. You can see that, for example, the integral is not extending all the way down. The font for the numbers and the font for the letters is different. And it's a best effort. And this is what happened before in the mirroring example, because that only certain fonts support mirroring. So I provided a specific one. And since it didn't load, everything was not as it should be. So font family math is quite important. aligning with a standard not only involves adding features, but also removing them. As we say, we have tons of legacy code. And that legacy code sometimes it's based on standards that may no longer be available. So, for example, MathML 3 had 200 elements, but MathML Core only has about 30. So what do we do with the rest, with the ones that we don't support? For example, this was this M-fenced element, which added decorations along the other things. Since we want to keep some idea of the compatibility before, but we don't have the resources or everything to make special rules for all of these elements, at least now, What we do is they render as an embro, which is HTML equivalent of a div. So instead of that fancy thing, we get the content, which at least is something. This doesn't mean that we can do the same thing as before. It's just we have to combine different building blocks. But existing content at least renders somewhat good. The other case is math variant. So in formulas, it's usually a convention that you write variables in italic. You can see it's slightly slanted. And this is still supported by MathML Core and done by default on identifiers. However, we now use a text transform for this, which is nice. But a lot of other cases were previously supported by MathML, like Gothic test or Monospace, which it's better for the implementation and for everything to just use the correct Unicode code point instead of having all of this complexity. So that's been deprecated. The thing with this is that we can just like say, okay, let's remove it from all browsers and call it a day, because there are websites that still have this thing. So for now, it's a feature that you can toggle to deprecate this. And if you do, it will have the new thing, but we can just skip this. And the final thing is that not always everything goes to plan. So there are some things that you have to live with. So for example, there's a mistake in Cambria Math by Microsoft. Two of the open type fields are changed. And this wasn't realized until recently. So this meant that, for example, Office relies on those two fields being changed. But all of the other things rely on them being the correct thing. And Office is used a lot. So we can, and this has been a shipping font for years. So we can just say, okay, let's change everything. We need workarounds. And there are a few workarounds like this that we need to do. But instead of having it in every browser and having to update that code and keep track of it, what we do is, for example, in this case, we went to Halfbus, the text library that is used by all of these browsers, except the Apple ports of WebKit, but those don't have Cambria Math to begin with. And we handle that case there, switching the values. It's a similar thing that text does, for example. So people can still use this font because it's the default by Windows system. And all of this only works if there's communication between people making browsers and people writing the specs. So as part of our work, we also attend like the MathML working group meeting. We investigate and view issues. We talk with browser vendors. And sometimes we make contributions back to the spec. The latest one is quite funny, which is adding animations to Mass CSS properties, because that's something you can't do in a book, but you can do in a website, which is good. And I'm really happy to say that all of the things that we've been talking about have shipped across all browsers, except of deprecating math variant. That's there, but we didn't enable it by default to avoid breaking pages yet. So what's next? We have a few more improvements. There's handling positioned elements and float in layout. We have a big operator dictionary with each operator. It says if it's stretchy, if it's an accent. And it's been a bit outdated and based on different specs, so we have to fix that. And also a few more changes to stretching, spacing, so all of the browsers don't change the layout too much. So thank you so much for joining. I hope that you learn a bit about MathML. If you have any questions regarding open specification, please don't hesitate to contact us. And I have one more thing prepared. We can leave it playing while we have the Q&A. It's a small project, but let me see if I can. Oh, wait. It's there. It's loaded
down.
In a different page here. But, oh, maybe it's not loading. We can start with the Q&A, and I'll get it working.
Can I ship MathML to normal web users today?
I think it's in a quite good state to be shipped. The few remaining things that are missing are like small tweaks and small things, but it is ready, yes.
Thanks.
Yeah, first of all, thanks a lot. I'm from Archive, the one with the X, and we use MathML Core in our HTML papers, which was a resounding success. So big thanks to you and everyone working on this. It wasn't mentioned clearly, it is an incredible improvement for accessibility people.
Yes.
Being able to get a proper semantic correct readout of mathematical text from HTML pages. So a big thanks from us all. And concerning your question, yes, it is, you can ship it. We ship like a million of HTML pages generated from Dech code so that that people can actually access. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, regarding accessibility, it's a real improvement because you can have the screen reader say what it's actually there. With a pre-rendered image, you don't get that.
Hi, thanks. I wonder if MathML Core has pseudo element selectors to further customize certain elements. How rich is the API, I mean, basically?
So. You can, for MathML Core, the elements are like, in CSS you can have the elements selected, like, for example, MO and so, and you can use the same selectors that you would use in CSS or hover or things.
No, but I meant, for example, for the operators. Are there...
Yes.
Can they further be customized?
Yes, each element is a different type of like element, so operators are MO, for example, and you can select those in CSS and do all of the things that you could normally do to style them. And it's actually a lot of the rules in MathML Core are done like that. They select certain types of elements and they apply styling to them.
And this is only because you're unlucky to be after the previous presentation, but do you also provide CSS for different types of media, like TV or printed media, like books?
I'm not sure about TV, but MathML, regular MathML, is implemented for books, for PDFs, for everything. And there's an effort to keep MathML Core and MathML compatible between each other, so if you print something, it's going to be translated to MathML, and it hopefully should work.
And you didn't mention Safari, is it not?
Oh, WebKit is Safari for... Sorry, WebKit is... the Apple ports are Safari, and we also have WebKit for Linux.
Can you speak on annotation, specifically with the accessibility, and also annotation, LaTeX annotation, other forms?
Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure off the top of my head, but I think annotations are not rendered by default by MathML, but they do still appear in the render tree. So regarding accessibility, they would like be read aloud.
Thank you.
I'm curious about if you know of any issues when it comes to allowing users to author content on websites using MathML, so user-generated content. Like, as an example, you know, for HTML, you can't allow users to write script elements for very obvious reasons, hopefully. I'm curious, is there any equivalent to that kind of thing?
Again, I would have to check, but I think it's... Inside of MathML, it's a different context. So it only allows certain elements. You start with the math tag, and then inside you can put an embro or whatever. If you put other tags, it will just treat it as a row and a styled row, which is one of the things we did. So I'm not sure if there's like script support, but I don't think so. But I want to be careful and say that we would have to check it out, yes.
One last question.
It may be a little bit out of your area, but you mentioned that Sovereign Tech Fund had funded this. I was wondering if you had any thoughts about how infrastructure projects like this should be funded versus, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is a complicated question, and I think like there's going to be a lot of discussion about this, for example, in the other rooms. It is tricky. For example, MathML was stuck like this for a long time because it's not seen as a necessity, like an immediate necessity maybe, like other projects, but it is really useful. It is used in a lot of places. So it's good to have funding to be able to work on projects like this, which may not be like the most appealing at first, but they do have a lot of underlying value for accessibility, for cross-browser compatibility, for sites like Wikipedia that everybody uses. But yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And if you want to watch the bad apples, you can go to the link there.